Welcome back, everyone, to another exciting episode of the Space City X-Files, the podcast that delves into the hidden realms of mystery, unlocking the enigmatic world that lies beneath the surface. I'm your host, Rick. I'm back, and in today's episode, we embark on a journey shrouded in whispers, symbolism, and centuries of intrigue. Prepare yourself to enter into the captivating realm of the Freemasons. For centuries, the Freemasons have remained an enigma, capturing the imagination of both curious minds and conspiracy theorists alike. Behind closed doors, within the hollow walls of their lodges, these men and women gather, bound by ancient rituals and secretive knowledge. But who are they? What are their hidden intentions, if any? And what role do they play, if any, in shaping our world? Join me as we uncover the veiled symbols, decode cryptic rituals, and navigate through the labyrinth corridors of Freemason history. From its humble origins as a guild of stonemasons to a sprawling global fraternity, we'll explore the profound influence this mysterious organization has had on art, science, politics, and the very foundations of our society itself. But be warned, dear listeners, this journey is going to take us into the realms of secrecy and speculation. So we'll do our very best to separate fact from fiction. We'll sift through the centuries of myths and legends, and we're going to confront the questions that have haunted the minds of countless truth seekers for a long time now. Is there an unseen hand guiding the destiny of our nations? And are they a part of it? Do the Freemasons hold the keys to esoteric wisdom? Or are they simply a fraternity dedicated to fellowship and moral virtue? Along the way, we'll meet historians, experts, and individuals who have crossed paths with the Freemasons, sharing their unique perspectives and shedding light on the mysteries that have lingered in the shadows for far too long. So prepare to unlock the secrets, unravel the enigmas, and embark on a journey like no other. Welcome to Space City X-Files, Episode 32, The Freemasons. Before we continue with our investigation into the world of Freemasonry, we'd like to take a moment to express our gratitude to all our listeners. At Space City X-Files, we strive to provide the best possible experience by keeping our episodes free of commercials and ads. Because of that, we rely on your support to help us grow and reach more people all over the world who share our passion for uncovering the mysteries of the unknown. If you enjoyed today's episode, we kindly request that you take a few minutes to leave us a review on the platform you're listening on. Now, we know that you can't always leave a review because of the settings on the platform, but if it just allows you to do a 5-star, go ahead and hit that 5-star. Your feedback is invaluable in spreading awareness about the show and attracting those new listeners. Additionally, if you would like to make a monetary contribution to support the program, you can visit our website and click on the Support Us tab, and there you can type in any amount you want. Everything is appreciated. Every donation we receive, of course, goes directly towards enhancing the quality of our content. We dearly appreciate your consideration and your ongoing support. Your involvement ensures that we can continue to deliver thought-provoking episodes like today's over the secrets of the Freemason organization. Thank you for being a part of Space City X-Files, and we look forward to bringing you more captivating content in the near future. This will conclude today's announcements. All right, to start this investigation off, let's first learn about the origins of the Freemason organization, and then we can work forward from there, all right, because it's important to know who they are, where they came from, all that good jazz. All right, so the history of the Freemasons are complex, and it's an intriguing tale that stretches back several centuries. Now, while the origins of Freemasonry are not definitively known as a concrete date, it's believed to have emerged from the medieval guilds of stonemasons and cathedral builders way back in the 17th century. Now, during the Middle Ages, the stonemasons formed an organization or an association or a guild, whatever you want to call it, to safeguard their trade secrets regulate apprenticeships, and establish standards of a level of craftsmanship. So basically, they were like the local union back then. As the construction of cathedrals and other significant buildings increased, the guild expanded their influence and knowledge, developing a unique system of symbols, signs, and rituals. The transition from operative working masonry to speculative non-working masonry occurred during the late 16th and early 17th centuries. Now, at this time, individuals not directly involved in the craft or stonemasonry began seeking membership in these guilds. All right, so here the snowball effect starts growing. Okay, people are seeing them. There's a lot of there's a lot of popular people involved, and this started, piquing people's interest. And so we'll see about that right now. The speculative masons, as they came to be known, were drawn to the moral and philosophical teachings contained within the rituals and symbolism of the guilds. The turning point for the emergence of modern Freemasonry occurred in the early 18th century in England. The establishment of the first Grand Lodge of England in 1717 is considered a pivotal event for the organization. All right, so this new Grand Lodge sought to unite various lodges under basically a centralized authority, and it created a standardized system of governance and rituals. All right, so this really got them all in tune with each other. Now, Freemasonry quickly spread throughout Europe and eventually to the American colonies. Lodges were established, attracting members from different social classes, including intellectuals, politicians, and influential figures. Freemasonry became a fraternity that transcended borders, allowing men from diverse backgrounds to come together in a spirit of brotherhood, equality, and mutual support. All right, so during the 18th and 19th centuries, Freemasonry experienced significant growth and played a role in various historical events, such as the American Revolution and the French Revolution. All right, so they were taking part in wars, not because they specifically got involved with it themselves, but because there were soldiers who were enlisted, or people in politics that were Freemasons. So in turn, it kind of brought them into it. All right, so the ideals of Freemasonry, such as liberty, equality, and fraternity, resonated with the aspirations of the times. Everybody wanted that freedom. Everybody was being oppressed in some way, and this was birthed from those restrictive times. Freemasonry has continued to evolve and adapt over the hundreds of years. It has expanded globally, with lodges now present in numerous countries around the world. Today, Freemasonry focuses on promoting personal development, moral values, and charitable endeavors, so says the pamphlet. While much is known about the historical development of Freemasonry, there are also gaps and mysteries that have fueled speculation and many conspiracy theories. Now, these theories range from claims of secret agendas and influence on world events to allegations of occult practices. And that will transition us into the conspiratorial aspects of the mysterious Freemason organization. So hold on. All right, so we'll begin with the summary of the most popular and work our way back down to the lesser known. All right, so the most prominent conspiracy theory, and this is one that everybody knows in some way or has heard in some way. It's been depicted in movies and video games and music. I mean, everybody has, especially if you're on social media, you have seen this theory at some point. This theory is associated with Freemasonry, and it's said that they have influential control over all the world governments. So is there any truth to this? And we want to know what brought on this notion of corruption. The theory that Freemasonry controls government suggests that influential Freemasons hold positions of power within governments and use their influence to shape political decisions and global events. Now, this theory alleges that Freemasons form a secretive network or a shadow government that operates behind the scenes, manipulating policies, elections, and world affairs to serve their own interest. Proponents of this theory often point to the presence of Freemasons in prominent positions throughout history. Now, they may highlight instances where political leaders, military figures, or influential individuals were members of one of the bigger or greater Masonic fraternities. Now, these connections are sometimes used as evidence of a coordinated effort to control governments. This wasn't the first time people have felt that way. This is kind of a reoccurring thing with them. That's why this is so interesting. Now, depending on who you talk to, if you mention this, you would likely be dismissed as another crazy conspiracy theorist ranting about things that lack substantial evidence. They would argue that the system installed in place in democratic nations that elect policies and leaders are way too complex to be rigged. And they would also likely inform you that the Freemason organization has never been implicated in any meddling of political events. And that may be true, or maybe won't. Maybe it's not. Or it's possible, going further, that they just haven't been caught yet, you know? Truth is, although there's a lack of concrete evidence to catch them in the act and to prove that this theory is real, there's just enough to where you cannot completely disregard it either, or else I would not be doing this episode, and you probably wouldn't want to listen to it either. One of the main objectives for this supposed infiltrated hierarchy is the instatement of a type of system, and here's the premise of what everybody has seen in some sort of way concerning this conspiracy. So they would instate a type of system that would be in control over everything. You may have heard it mentioned before as the New World Order. Let's take a look at that next. All right, so the theory of the New World Order suggests that a secretive and powerful group, including Freemasons and others, not just them, and others like the Illuminati, are working towards establishing a global totalitarian government. Now, according to this theory, the ultimate goal of the New World Order is to consolidate political, economic, and social power into the hands of a select few, effectively eroding national sovereignty and individual freedoms. Proponents of this theory claim that the New World Order seeks to create a homogenized global society with a centralized authority dictating policy, economics, and even cultural norms. In a way, it kind of sounds like communism, but I mean, I don't know. Going forward, it says they often assert that the group operates through various means, such as infiltrating governments, manipulating financial systems, or controlling financial systems, controlling the media, and influencing international organizations. Conspiracy theorists who subscribe to the New World Order theory often point to symbols, alleged secret societies, and historical events to support their claims. Freemasonry, due to its secretive nature and influential historical figures who were Freemasons, is sometimes implicated as part of the supposed global control network. Again, depending on who you're talking to, this could be written off as another crackpot claim. But then there are others who would point to certain things going on in the world today, and they would be like, see, you know, this ain't a conspiracy theory anymore. It's already here. It's already here. There's already people that have monopolized the financial systems, you know, like big corporations, BlackRock and stuff like that. There's already people controlling the media. I mean, you got Disney owning, three quarters of everything now. I mean, they just bought Hulu. And they're working to buy more. So a lot of people would say, hey, look, this is not, there's a lot of things in today's world that were once considered conspiracy theories, and they ended up being true. You know, that's the thing. So, I mean, once you were considered crazy, and then, you know, you come to find out that it was true the whole time, but for some reason, it's still not as you would imagine something like this would be explosive. It would be all over the news, breaking stories left and right, and people talking about it every day at work, at home, but it's not. And you have to wonder why it's not. Take, for instance, like the alien bodies that were discovered in Peru. Okay, so at first it was like, well, they haven't been tested. They haven't, there hasn't been a colleague assessed paper written on it. Biologists haven't examined yet. There hasn't been DNA tests done yet. Well, I mean, now those things have already been done. All right. We know that we did a DNA test. We know that the thing's DNA is 40 to 50% of something that we've never seen before. We know that the body was not created. They've done X-rays. They've done tests, peer-reviewed examinations, and over 11 scientists have just said, biologists have just said that this thing is not human. All right. So obviously we got something that we've never seen before. And it's been pretty quiet, you know, I have to say. I'm the person that's like looking at it regularly. And if you go to Reddit, you'll see it there all the time too. But even people on there are like, why is this not blowing up? How come news agencies are not covering this? Well, it could be because that's not what the people want put out to the public, you know. Anyways, another thing that people would say is that today's cancel culture could be a serious, huge red flag. If you were trying to read between the lines, if you would go as far as to say, to find the hidden messages, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, do what I say and act like me and don't go against the mob. If you do, you can forget about ever making it anywhere in today's world. And if you do go against us, we cancel you and nobody ever sees or hears from you again. It's really unsettling to see how much of a control grip, power grip that media has come into these days. And that's one of the reasons why I do this show, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of things that when I first started this little journey into, I started listening to podcasts, and I listened to one by a lady named Ashley Flowers. And, it was a super or paranormal or super something like that. And I thought it was just going to be about ghosts and stuff. I just put on one episode, but it wasn't. It was about conspiracy stuff. And after one episode, I heard this episode. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, really. So I looked it up, and sure enough, there was a lot of people that knew about this and agreed with it. And I was like, holy crap, you know, like, what else do I don't know? So I started going further and further down the rabbit hole. And then it was like a full-blown awakening, you know, like, wow, I can't believe that there's so much of this stuff in the world and nobody talks about it. You know, before I started looking into it, nobody I knew talked about it. And it's like, well, you know, I feel like people needed to hear this. And so that's why I started covering these topics. And, you know, if you're here, you're listening to the show, it's probably because you're into these things too. And so, but one of the good things that I appreciate about podcasts and about people that do talk about these things is that, they are helping circulate, you know, stuff that people deserve to hear. They're doing it on social media. They're doing it on shows, and they're doing it independently. Like, I completely fund everything that I do from the business that I run. You know, and nobody can tell me what I can say or what I can't say, what I can look into and what I can't. And I love that type of freedom. And, you know, I spend quite a bit of money, like monthly, to produce this show to get gear to market and stuff like that. But to me, I don't mind because I feel like people deserve to hear this. And if I can help in some way to get it out to them, then it's a win-win for me, you know. But that's our way of fighting back against, you know, controlled media, in my opinion. But not trying to dip too far into politics, but no matter what side you're on, you know, whether you're on the left wing side, you're on the right wing side, or you're in the middle, you know, you'll find people from all parties these days claiming that in some way freedom of speech and expression is under attack, you know, and you'll see that all over social media also. But it kind of makes you wonder, like, perhaps this is the plan. Maybe this is the plan of those behind the scenes pulling the strings of the puppet masters, if you will. And maybe they're just saying, first I'll divide them, and then I'll conquer them. All right, let's move on to our next theory on the block. So a while ago, we briefly spoke about the symbolism and the rituals associated with Freemasonry. So let's dive into that aspect now for a bit. All right, the symbols of the Freemasons have long made people wonder about the meaning of them. Now, it's clear that they have taken them from different eras of civilization. For example, ancient Egypt, and even the Knights Templar, which brings up interesting theories. Right, the theory on this one is connecting the Knights Templar and the Freemasons together. All right, this is known as the Templar connection or the Templar theory. Now, it suggests that here is a historical and philosophical link between the medieval Knights Templar and modern day Freemasonry. So, according to this theory, the Knights Templar, a medieval Christian military order established in the early 12th century, acquired hidden knowledge of secrets during their time in the Holy Land. This knowledge supposedly included esoteric traditions, architectural techniques, and even relics of religious significance. Now, the Templar theory posits that when the Knights Templar were suppressed and disbanded in the early 14th century, some members of the order escaped and went underground, taking their secrets and knowledge with them. These Templars allegedly formed secret societies and organizations, which eventually evolved into modern Freemasonry. Now, proponents of the Templar theory suggest that Freemasons adopted symbols, rituals, and philosophical concepts from the Knights Templar, carrying forward their traditions and teachings. They argue that Masonic rituals and symbols, such as references to the Holy Land, the Knights Templar Red Cross, or the Two Pillars, reminiscent of those found in the Templar tradition, are evidence of this connection. It's important to note that historical evidence supporting a direct and uninterrupted lineage between the Knights Templar and Freemason is limited, but it's not that it doesn't exist at all. Scholars generally agree that Freemasonry as it exists today emerged in the early 18th century, several centuries after the dissolution of the Knights Templar. But still, that doesn't rule out that it is an offspring of it. And it's funny that you know, when I said earlier that they were disbanded and suppressed, that was putting it lightly. So if you don't know the story, I'm not going to do a whole, this could be a whole episode over the Knights Templar. But if you don't know, the Knights Templar were working for the church. They were transporting Christians, from England or to Jerusalem, and giving them safe passage on this road into Jerusalem. And they would, if they had to fight, they would fight, but just to make sure they got there safe. And because of that, they were becoming very popular. They were getting a lot of donations. They became very, very wealthy. And all of a sudden, the Catholic Church didn't feel like they needed to be a thing anymore. And on Friday the 13th, in the 14th century, this is where the stigma between Friday the 13th actually came into play. They had them, there was a decree sent out to all the people all over the land, and they were to open it at a certain time on Friday the 13th. So when they opened it up, it said that the Knights Templar were to be eradicated, killed, all right? Not put in prison, they were to be killed. And they did. They did that. And they wiped out a lot of them, but there were some that escaped. They did confiscate a lot of their belongings, but some say that they had a secret cache of all their stuff. And a lot of it survived and was passed along. One of the reasons why they were, I guess, were out there welcome with the Catholic Church was because, I guess this is where the mystery of their hidden knowledge comes into play. So it's thought that while they were doing their missions there, they came across the information of basically like Gnostic teachings. And with that, they started getting an understanding or indoctrinated with ancient, some people would say it's like magic or, according to the Catholic Church, it would be magic or dark magic or whatever. But it said that the Templar Knights, you know, they gained this information on how to manipulate the elements, on how to basically connect with a higher source. It's said that they were possibly in possession of something called the Dead Sea Scrolls, which weren't discovered until the 1950s, but were said to have existed around the time of the Bible. Now, a lot of the stuff from these Dead Sea Scrolls contradicts a lot of what was allowed to be in the canonized Bible. Okay, so if you don't know, at the Council of Nicaea, and I think it was 400 AD or 300 AD, this is where they got together, Romans, and they said, okay, this is what's going to be allowed into the Bible. This is what's not. This is going to be the agenda. Basically, this is where they decided this is what Christianity is going to be. And a lot of what's in the Dead Sea Scrolls and a lot of what's in the Book of Enoch and all these other former books that were found to be legitimate writings of that time, contemporaries with the apostles' stories and all that, contradicted a lot of what was in the Bible. A lot of it in there was that basically like ourselves are very powerful than what we're told. All right, we have the power to manifest things. We have the power to connect and have with our higher selves and have infinite wisdom. You have the power to use like elemental magic, you know, and stuff like that to create what you want, what you need. And it's said that the Knights Templar were dabbling in that and becoming stronger and stronger in those teachings. And this is what led to the Catholic Church saying, oh, hell no. And they basically wiped them out. And so they took that teaching and they passed it along. And it's saying that basically the theory is that this knowledge fell to the organization, which is the Freemasonry. Now, this would explain like the rituals, the strange symbols and stuff like that. And a lot of people, they see the symbols and they think, oh, that's Satanism. It's the pentagram. It's the solar cross or the Merkaba and all that stuff. It's Kabbalistic symbolism and stuff like that. But really, those symbols have been around since the beginning of time, really, because they come from something that people associate with as the sacred geometry. So it's basically like the shapes of creation. The if you were to look at atoms and cells and or the cosmos in a under a microscope, you would see these type of signals, these symbols, and these symbols supposedly have powers in them. And so that's why a lot of times these cultures were inculcating these symbols into their traditions and rituals and stuff like that. And they say the theory is that this is why the Templars the Masons used those things. And this is why they have been able to amass a lot of power and a lot of wealth. You know, it's a lot to take in. I don't know how true it is, but that's what's been going around the water cooler. And so on that note, we're going to move on to our next theory. All right, so sit tight. All right, so with these theories presented, we see some of the more popular reasons for maybe there's a slight, just a bit of distrust, you know, when people hear the name or think of the organization. But it's interesting because I would like to know, and I'm sure you would too, who were the parties involved that started these rumors or started the commotion around these organizations? Who was this group that held the grudge against the Freemason Brotherhood, and why was it started? So to answer that question, let's look at some figures over the time who opposed Freemasonry. All right. So the first began early in their organization, specifically 1738 in Italy, with the then head of the Catholic Church, Pope Clement XII, instating a ban, a papal ban. The reason for the ban was that the church was busy with their everyday activities. They were allowing Freemasons and allowing their members to be Freemasons. A lot of people were at the time. Like, Freemasons were very popular, and this is, of course, was before people started scratching their heads. The reason why they started scratching their heads in the first place has a lot to do with the Illuminati. We won't go too deep into that because we're going to be taking a deep dive on that on the next episode. But they pretty much got everybody looking at them in a bad light. Anyways, Freemasons were growing, becoming very popular. One day the church looks up and they saw that Freemasons had unnoticeably attained head positions in the church. They had head positions in the local government. Throw in their high secretive mannerism and their motto, a brother above all. And this was enough to make anyone hella nervous about them possibly using their numbers to hold sway over positions of power. Keep in mind, too, at that time, the Illuminati were active. The Illuminati were actively recruiting Freemasons into their guild with the ploy that, you know, they told them, you don't got to leave Freemasons to join our group. In fact, they encouraged them to stay a Freemason, mingle with your Freemasonry brothers and bring them into our guild, you know. And this was a bad thing for the Freemasons, as I mentioned earlier, because it was publicly known that the ideas of the Illuminati were way more radical than theirs. All right. So the Freemasons were like, let's get together and have a beer. The Illuminati was like, let's get together, have a beer, and then talk about how we can fuck shit up. You know what I mean? But like in a sneaky way, not out in public. So eventually the Pope and the others, they would appeal to Prince Charles Theodore, who oddly enough was a Freemason and possibly an Illuminati member himself. But they appealed to him and causing his glass ceiling to break and noticing basically the, because he was all enamored with them too. He was, I'm telling you, like, if you look up his history, he was actually attending their meetings and stuff. So if you ask me, I think he was one of them. And he was like falling for their stuff, you know, like, man, you guys are great. You know, this is, I don't see anything wrong with this. And then when the Pope comes to him, he's like, hey, this is what's going on. He basically tells him the truth about what's going on. Like, you're being infiltrated. And he's like, oh shit. Like, he looks at the big picture and sees like, man, this thing has spread. I mean, to his front door, his back door, the Pope's front door, everybody's door. And so he was like, either I'm going to do something or I'm going to start catching shit from the king, you know. So he has to act. And so soon he puts the issue, the whole secret society issue, to rest in one fell swoop. And he does this by instituting a countrywide ban on secret societies altogether. Whether you're Freemason, Illuminati, Rosicrucian, whatever, it doesn't matter. Get your shit and get out. and this included, of course, Freemasonry. All right, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read an excerpt from Pope Clement on his decision to implement the papal bull. That's what they called the ban, the papal bull. All right, and this is quoted. It says, "Content with a form of natural virtue are associated with one another by oaths, with grave penalties to conceal inviolable silence, whatever they do secretly together. These associations have aroused suspicions that to join these associations is precisely synonymous with incurring the taint of evil and infamy. For if they were not involved in evil doing, they would never be so very adverse to the light of publicity. The rumor of these doings has so grown that several governments have suppressed them as being opposed to the welfare of the kingdom," end quote. All right, that was enough said. Everybody was like, well, you know, church is ruling everything right now. And in a way, the church infiltrated the state. You know what I mean? So it's like a power play. Granted, this was probably just a power struggle. But you can see that they were indeed suspicious of each other's motives, right? The church were watching them. They were watching the church. Well, the Freemasons weren't really watching anybody. But because the Illuminati infiltrated them, the Illuminati members were like, had their eyes on the church. Like, we don't trust these motherfuckers in the church. It's like, these dudes are trying to run us out of here, you know, or breed us out, you know. And the church, with the influence, the Freemason and Illuminati, basically we're done, you know. They were ran out. And so that was the first example. And what we're going to do, we'll move on to our next one now. All right, so the next person to openly oppose Freemasonry and gain a significant following was a man named William Morgan. All right, so in the early days of America, as the country was trying to establish itself after breaking free from its former rulers, William noticed that some individuals within the newly formed parties still clung to rituals and ideologies imported from across the pond. He's like, what the fuck? This is starting to look a whole lot like our old home, you know? One such ideology was the allegiance to a secret society that placed loyalty to its members above all else. It was this observation that led William to start the Anti-Masonic Party, which aimed to challenge those who held positions of power within the secret society. Now, William was not alone in his sentiments, and in the years to come, many other countries would also require their government officials or parliament members to disclose any affiliation with secret societies in the interest of accountability and transparency. So they're even doing that right now. Like, if you're a member of Parliament, the British Parliament, you have to, if you're a member of a secret society, you have to basically disclose that. If not, then if you get busted, you're in deep shit. But I'm sure it's the same thing here in America too. But I mean, I don't know, man. Like, how much do they really pay attention to that? You know, or do they even look? I mean, who were the ones enforcing this? How do you know that they're just not undercover Freemasons and they're like, yeah, we'll make sure everything is up and up, you know? Next thing you know, they're like, yeah, we don't care. And we're part of it too. anyways, back to the story. It's like, however, what set William Morgan apart from others was his alleged firsthand knowledge of what transpired behind the closed doors of Freemason lodges. Ooh, so this guy, he has some dirt on him. He wrote a book condemning their practices and even threatened to expose their secrets publicly if they continued their pursuit of leadership positions. Now, I found this interesting because he didn't extort them. He didn't, you know, they had money at that time, I'm sure. He didn't say, I'm gonna expose you publicly if you don't pay me this much money, or if you don't make me a leader in your organization, or if you don't give me a position of leadership in politics. I mean, this was like a pretty honest approach to it. Like, look, I won't put you out there publicly, but you need to step down from leadership positions. Like, that's what his main focus was. I don't care what you do. I just don't want you doing that and being a part of the people who make the decisions around here, which was is understandable. Unfortunately, William's mission came to an abrupt end when he mysteriously disappeared one day, never to be seen or heard from again. This disappearance instilled fear within the anti-Masonic party, with many suspecting that the Freemasons were responsible for his vanishing act. Now, although this case was never solved, it remains unclear how diligently the authorities investigated the matter. They were probably all Freemasons too, you know what I mean? Eventually, the anti-Masonic party dwindled and ultimately failed to achieve its primary goal. Big surprise. All right, so now we've reached the part of the show where we dive into our personal take on Freemasonry. What's the deal with it? Is it just an old harmless fraternity or a shadowy secret society aiming to bring about their own new world order? Here's my two cents. All right, Freemasons are more intriguing than meet the eye. That's what I think. And, you know, it's possibly they are involved in it, in this ploy for a single world order. But I don't feel like they're the only ones working behind the scenes to shape the world. No, I don't think they're by themselves. It's not Freemasonry against everybody. I know that much. There's definitely something going on, but it's not a one entity show anymore. It may have been at one time, but it's not anymore. It seems like there are many players tugging at the strings, pushing for things to unravel. Personally, I don't think they care which group comes out on top. I mean, they're all in it right now for their own gain, but it's sort of a symbiotic setup where if one organization wins or prospers, then they all benefit from it, right? Because they're all thinking the same way. So, it's not really a battle of who rules over whom. So now let's talk about the Freemasons themselves. What are the Freemasons then? What do I think? So in my opinion, they've been around for ages, and no doubt because of that, they've been a tight group since the 1700s. That's a long time. They've been around a long time. They passed a lot of information down. So without a doubt, they hold some incredible secrets. And a lot of it probably has to do with a lot of secretive mysticism or esoteric stuff. But I feel like this stuff is probably only revealed to those at the highest level. You know what I mean? For those who hold the title of Master Mason, which is like a level 3, they call them Blue Masons, I think. It's more like an exclusive club, in my opinion. I've had a chance in my lifetime to meet a few Freemasons, and you know what? They're genuinely good people. They actively work to make a positive impact. They're focusing on charity and their personal growth. It's a little strange, the stuff that they do, but you know, that's not something that you have a conversation with one about. Personally, I have nothing against their organization. Sure, they may use their positions from time to time to lend a helping hand, but let's be fair, if that bothers you, then you should be mad at any other group with a few hundred thousand members, because they all do it in some way. You know, if you're in a group, if you're in a church, if you're in a congregation, and there's, you know, somebody who's on the city council, and, you know, he knows that you do a certain type of work. I'm using this example because it's the same exact thing has happened to me. Comes up to me and, hey, we got this project going on. I know you do this. Are you interested? Yeah, sure. Well, it's a city project, so I got to have three bids. But, you know, yeah, of course I know. And it's not like a kickback or anything like that, but it's like, you're my people. I'm gonna watch out for you because I trust you. And so so everybody does it in some way. Even if it was just person to person, you know, homeowner to homeowner. Hey, Rick, you know, you do this and this. I got a project going on. Okay, well, have you called anybody else or asked anybody else to bid? Oh, no, I trust you, so I want you to do it. So that can be considered like, you know, he didn't look for anybody else because you have a relationship. So everybody's gaining from it in some way. He's going to get a better deal because you're his friend and you're part of the same group, and he's going to make sure you get the work. And so even smaller organizations exert their influence to make things happen in a way. You know, just think about college fraternities or the infamous Skull and Bones Order, which oddly enough has produced more than a couple of presidents and plenty of government politicians who are still in power today. Plenty of high-profile business people and actors who hold major sway in today's world, you know? Think about those. Are they not an order? Are they not using their power in some way? Of course they do. In conclusion, the Freemasons are indeed a secret society with tantalizing secrets, but they're not revealed unless you dedicate a lifetime of service or have some extremely deep pockets. Apart from that, they're mostly seen as a popular club, genuinely striving to do some good work. You know, take care of each other in their neighborhoods. They're not for everyone though, and I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to see that. There's a lot of maybe some strangeness to it. It's not everybody's cup of tea. But hey, we're still living in a free country, and everyone has the right to live life on their own terms and to be involved with whatever they want to be in. That's just my opinion. But anyways, I would love to hear what you think. So if you have some information that I might know, or maybe you're a former member, maybe you're a member, and you want to reach out, feel free to do that via email or on social media. And I'm all ears. And you know the email address. It's info@spacecityxfiles.com. All right. So also, if you enjoyed today's episode on the Mysterious Freemason Organization, please take a few minutes after the show to leave us that written review. If you can't leave a review, hit the 5 stars. If you can't do that, then just share an episode to somebody. Send it to a text message. Send it as a link, whatever. Help us spread throughout the world and reach those truth seekers so they can hear this information too. Everybody deserves to hear the stuff that, you know, mainstream media doesn't want to show you. You know, are they going to, you think Fox or CNN is going to talk about Freemasons, or next week we got the Illuminati coming up? You think they would talk about stuff like that? No. You know, they want everybody to forget about that. They don't want nobody thinking about that stuff. But we want to share it, and we want to share it for those who are interested in it. So, you know, because of that, your feedback and your help means the world to us. And it really helps us bring awareness to the show. All right. So, as we were saying, next week we have the Illuminati. That'll be out on the 12th. On the 19th. We have the Adrenochrome episode, and on the 26th, wrapping up Secret Society Month, we have the Bohemian Grove, all right? So we have the Bohemians, that's a good one too, which is still going around to these, still happening these days. They're a pretty old group too, you know? So if you're interested in those things, make sure you tune in, you know, and tell your friends that But that's what's coming up this month for Space City X-Files. Real quick before we go to, just want to give you a reminder that we got those products out now. They're on the website. Beard oil, beard balm, body spray. We got some candles, bath bombs in the works, some lotions, our conspiracy bars of soap inspired by all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world. And then also, you know, we got the regular stuff like the shirts, the hats, of course, the stickers. And so if you're interested, you want to support the show, you want to fix up your beard or, you know, pamper yourself, then just hit me up on email or you can order on the website. We'll get it packaged up and shipped over to you. Like we said, we're focusing on self-care. We're really trying to go after this aspect. One, because I like it, you know, and I enjoy making it. These are all handmade, of course. And I, you know, I like using all natural stuff. I like to know where my stuff comes from. You know, I don't want it coming from some big market or something like that. And so I make it, of course. And, you know, when you're using these things, you take care. It's a symbol to take care of yourself, pamper yourself, taking care of your mental health, you're taking care of your physical health, looking good, smelling good, and good things are going to happen to you because you got a good attitude. You know what I mean? So we got to take care of number one. If we take care of number one, then we can take care of everybody else. We can be that light. We can uplift everybody, our friends, our people, our family, our kids, our community, all that good stuff. You know what I mean? It all starts with buying this beer product. No, I'm just kidding. It all starts with taking care of yourself. You know, whether you get it from me or get it from somewhere else, invest a little bit of time in yourself. Invest some time in yourself. Invest some money into yourself. Take care of yourself because you're worth it. You know what I mean? And on that note, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And I can't wait to see you back here next week, my fellow truth seekers. Until then, this is Rick signing off on behalf of the Space City X-Files. Keep questioning, keep listening, and keep exploring, my friends. See you next week.
Listening to Space City X-Files. Goodbye.